I want to, before we jump into God's word today, I want to put on my other hat, you know, as lead pastor, and we've been talking about something that we're looking at doing to develop some property that we own around the corner. So I want to just take a few moments and give you an update on that, give you some information. If this is your first time here, just bear with us. We're going to get to scripture in a moment, but we just got to deal with this in-house stuff. So our constitution says we need to give you two Sundays announcement of when we're going to have a special members meeting. So this is the second Sunday that we are announcing that. If you are a voting member of Evangel, you have plans next Sunday after the second service. And those plans are to be part of our special members meeting. It'll start at 1 o'clock around the corner at our property on St. Catherine Street called the Lighthouse. It'll be right in there. We're starting at 1. The doors open at 12:15 or 12:30, and we'd really encourage you to get there a little bit early because we have to register all of you in order to make sure that we do this vote properly. If you are not a voting member, but you're a part of our church, you regularly attend, you are more than welcome to come and join and be part of that meeting. You can't vote at it, but you can be come and just hear all the things that are happening. But meanwhile, what we're doing is, and I just want to review it quickly for those of you that have not been able to participate in the other ways we've been communicating with you. So we've been asking this question about this property that we own around the corner. And the question basically is, how can we create sustainable income from this property while also continuing to bring Jesus to the community in which God has placed us? That's the question we're trying to answer. We're pretty sure we have a good idea and a good plan of what we can do. And so that's what we've been talking about. We talked about it last Sunday. We talked about it Monday evening at our town hall meeting, which was fantastic. We've talked about it. I've sent you an email. And so you should have heard news of this already through one of the ways that we communicate. But basically the idea is, it looks like we think that we can put an apartment building on that land, on that property, probably 14 stories. And the first two floors would be probably for commercial rental. The third floor would probably be for Evangel, for our use, so that we still have a hall and we still have a kitchen and we still have our offices as we do now over in that space. And then the rest probably would be residential apartments that we rent out. And some of those apartments would be intentionally affordable because we live in a neighborhood where that's actually really, there's a very big shortage of housing that is affordable for people. And so part of those apartments would be even just slightly below the market rate so that it can be affordable for people that need to live in this area. And right now, so always the first question is, and how are you going to pay for it? And so here's the good news. We have right now, we have two excellent funding options available. We have not yet decided which one we'll go with. And for all I know, a third one will show up tomorrow. But we have two right now. Both of them are excellent funding options. One of them is government sponsored. Neither of them requires us to have a capital campaign. Yay. If that doesn't make you go yay, I don't know what will. Okay. Neither of them requires us to come to you and say, can you give more? And you go, well, Patty, why do we need to do this? And really, there's two reasons we're trying to do it. And I appreciate you letting me take a few minutes to just share this. One is we are living in a community that is rapidly gentrifying, which is fancy speak for only rich people will be able to live here. And there's a real concern within our government and within our community council going, how do we make sure that this community stays accessible for those that maybe aren't, you know, super wealthy, but still need to live here to go to school or to work or to raise their families or whatever. And so there's hardly any rental space that's available here. And so we really want to meet that need. And the second thing is, truthfully, we're in this weird dichotomy where we have this property that is increasing in value. But the building that's on it is aging. And that building is starting to cost us more and more to maintain and to make sure that it's used well. And so we've just been going, God, how do we use this in order to meet the needs of the community, carry Jesus to our community, and also get the most value that we can out of it? Because we believe that this is a resource that God has given us, and we have a responsibility to steward it well. So that's why we're doing this. And so at our town hall meeting on Monday night, it was just fantastic. Pastor Rob did an excellent job of presenting the details of the project, and some of our building committee members were there as well, and some of them also presented, and then we just opened it wide open. If you had questions, if you had feedback, and people just started asking questions, and they were good questions, thoughtful questions, very positive questions, but just, hey, have you considered this? What would this look like, etc.? Our lead team asked if I would share some of those questions and answers with you this morning because we want you to know, we're just trying to address the questions that we think are out there. Let me just also say to you, next Sunday, our intention is to not have a question and answer time at the voting meeting because we've allowed for all kinds of time beforehand in order for you to ask questions. And you go, well, I still have a question. There is a feedback form that you can access on our website or on our app where you can put right in there, hey, this is my name, I'm a voting member, or I'm an adherent, and this is my question or this is my thought. And we will do our best to respond to those. We've already responded to a number of those on there. So please, please do feel free to come. We just want to use our time wisely next Sunday. Here's some of the questions that were asked at our town hall meeting or have been asked so far. So one of the main ones was, we renovated this building several years ago. It was called the Reimagine Campaign. And we still owe $1.8 million from having done that. And somebody said, well, what will happen to that? So what will happen is when we take out, if we go ahead and we get the funding and we take out the mortgage to redevelop that project over there, the very first thing we do is we wipe out the mortgage here. That's part of the financing that would be included, and so that $1.8 million would be paid off. Somebody said, well, what is the timeline? We don't know yet because we haven't firmly made the decision. But what we're hoping is if we move forward with this, we will have shovels in the ground by next spring, and overall it will be about a two-year project. Somebody said, what's going to happen to the church's charitable status if we own property that's making a profit? How do we do that? So answer number one is, I'm a pastor, not a tax lawyer. And answer number two is, we have a lawyer. Yay. And so we have a lawyer that's actually looking into this now. There are different models of things that have been done or are being done in Canada. And we are checking across Canada with all of our contacts that we have in different denominations going, how do we do this legally? How do we do this well? How do we make sure that we don't damage the church's charitable status? And the reality is, it's very likely we will need to set up a separate entity of some kind, a foundation, or a corporation or something that would be in charge of the profitable part of that building while keeping it separate from the church, but still it's part of the church so that we still maintain control over the whole thing. That's the best that I know, and we have lawyers looking into that, but we're very aware. We want to watch our charitable status and make sure that that's not in jeopardy, and so we'll keep working on that. Somebody asked, do we have control over who the architect is or who moves into the building? Do we maintain control over all of those things? Yes. The answer is yes, we maintain control over all of that. And somebody said, well, what if you get government, if you get this government funding that you're looking at federally, what happens? Does the government then say who lives there? What happens if an election happens and we have a new government? How does that work? So number one, the program does not change no matter who's elected to power. It's a 10-year program, a funding opportunity that's there for specifically to build rental opportunities. And second of all, we still maintain all the control. We will hire a company to manage the building, but we're the ones that say, or that company that we hire says who lives there, and we maintain control over all of that. We choose the architect, we choose the general contractor, all of that kind of stuff. And then somebody said, where are the offices going to be? And so again, we think that what we'll do right now, our offices are over there. We think we're going to move them over here for during the time that the construction's happening. And I don't know exactly where yet, but most of our staff, including me, we just work on laptops and we can work almost anywhere. And if we need to be not distracted, we put on headphones. And so I think we can do this not too much difficulty, set up and tear down offices each week, at least temporarily. And then presumably we'll move back into the space that's over there once the project is done. And then the question started coming and I started laughing because I want you to know I'm a person that I know how to dream big, and it turns out so do you. So the questions kept coming from the town hall meeting, and somebody said, well, I have a question. We used to, as a church, own the buildings next door to that property that's there. Can we buy them again and do something else with them? And I went, ah. Not today, but maybe. And then somebody said, well, can we build a walkway that goes over the alley between that property over there and this property over here? And I went, Maybe, I don't know. And I just laugh because I realize we are a church that has, we have just so planted in this community, and so we are so committed to this community, and we dream big about this community, and we're like, well, if we could do this much, maybe God could do more. Isn't that cool? What a great attitude for a church to have. And then somebody said, what happens if the costs are overrun? Who's liable? And the short answers were, that's why we have insurance. That's why they have insurance. It's up to the general contractors to honor their contracts. And we have created also a whole lot of margin in the numbers that we've put together in the budget for this. And then here was the final question, and it caught me off guard. Somebody said, you guys are talking about a project that's going to take a few years, and you're talking about what you want to do over the next 10 years in the community, which is not just about building, but about how do we reach our neighbors? How do we sow into this community? They said, we just want to know, are the pastors going to stay to finish that job? And I went, ah. And then Pastor Rob, who was the one the question was addressed to, he said, well, I'd like to stay, but you need to talk to my boss. So then every head in the room looked at me, and here's what I want you to know, okay? I don't make promises that I can't make guarantees about the future, and neither can you. But I want you to know that Jeff and I, we live here. We've moved here 3.5 years ago, and if we have our say, we ain't ever moving again. And the same is true for Pastor Rob and Jana. They moved here. We are here because we believe God has called us here, and we're planning to stay for the long haul. And so it's a fair question, and we wanted to let you know that that is our intention, and that's our plan. So if you have further questions, please use that feedback form. You can find it on the website. Talk to us. Give us a call if you want to this week. So far, every comment we've received has been some kind of positive feedback, even if there's questions attached. What does this look like? And next Sunday, remember, we have a voting members meeting. There's going to be a prayer meeting right after it, and you're all welcome to be there for that. But it seems to me that's the best way to end a voting members meeting like that. And we're going to vote on basically a resolution that just basically says, look, yep, we're in favor of continuing to move forward with this project. We want to keep exploring it. We want to see, is this what we can do? Is it viable? And there's a possibility there may be a second part of the resolution that says, can we begin to start borrowing some funds just for the beginning soft costs of the project? Soft costs being lawyers, architects, engineers. We probably won't have that second part. We probably don't need to borrow right now, but we do need to know if the members are on board as we continue working this out. So please make sure that you come next Sunday. It's really important that you be there, and then we'll just see whatever God has next. That makes sense? All good? Turn to your neighbor and go, clear as mud. It's clear as mud, okay? I'm going to take off my building person hat and put on my preacher hat now, and we're just going to take just a few minutes this morning and look at God's Word and take a look at what's happening. We are, if you have your smartphone or you have your tablet, you want to open your app and you can follow along there. And actually today, you really want to open your app, or you want to have some way of taking some kind of notes, because there's going to be moments where we're going to pause and give you opportunity to respond. And if you're a person that likes to write or take notes on your phone, you might want to have that ready to go. We are in a series called The Story. Most of you know that if you've been here. It's chronologically through the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. We started it in September. It's going through to about July. We're on chapter 24 today. But I want to kind of jump in, and hopefully you've read some of the scripture ahead of time, but I want to talk about this idea of being shaped by God's Word, being shaped on the inside and transformed by God's Word. You know, when I was a kid, so I grew up in church, I'm a pastor's kid, I was perfectly holy my whole life and never sinned once, not at all, okay? That's a joke. You should tell the person beside you that's a joke. She doesn't think that about herself. My parents could come and tell you differently. But as a kid, one of the things that we did growing up in church, we memorized scripture. We memorized different verses of the Bible. It was just a given that was an important part of being a follower of Jesus. And so one of the first verses that I memorized was from Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart so that I might not sin against thee. There's this understanding that if I hide God's word in my heart, it will guide me and it will shape me and it will help me to live in the way that Jesus has called me to live. My dad memorized Matthew chapter 5-7 when he was a kid. He remembers his mother teaching it to him, the whole Sermon on the Mount with all of the blessed are this and blessed are that and all of those things that Jesus said. And he memorized 1 Corinthians 13, which is the chapter about love that you often hear at weddings. Love is this, love is that. And he memorized all of that as a young man and internalized it, and it shaped him and has shaped the way that he has lived his life ever since then. Because you understand that whatever it is that we put into our heads is going to shape us, right? Now, some of you are going to go, oh, no. I can just watch this and I can read that and I can put this in my head. Don't worry, Patty. It doesn't impact me at all. Oh, come on. It is, right? It's just like what we eat impacts our physical health, whether we're in denial about that or not, okay? Whatever we put into our minds and into our hearts, it's going to impact our spiritual health. And it's important then that we engage with Scripture, that we don't just memorize it and be able to recite it back, but we actually engage it and we let it come and become part of who we are. And can I just tell you, it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to fully engage with Scripture, to take time with Scripture and let it shape us. It's a vulnerable thing to sometimes to read the words of Jesus and let those words read us. It's vulnerable. It can be a little bit scary to just hide it in our hearts, not just take it as information, but let the words of our sacred text, the words of our God, the living words of Jesus wash through us and actually change us. So we're going to do a little bit of that today. So, because today we're actually looking at the actual words of Jesus. And chapter 24 of the story is filled with words and stories of Jesus. And one of you sent me an email this week and you said, Patty, you always say you should read your Bible. And they said, I just want to thank you for that. Because I just want you to know, it's not nagging. I'm not trying to, you know, get you to read your Bible so you could, I read my Bible today so I could check it off. I did what Pastor Patty said. No, the words of Scripture are a gift to us. They're a gift to us, and God's words, the stories of Jesus, are going to shape us if we let it. And so this person said to me, thank you that you say that so many times. You should read your Bible. I need that reminder, and I just appreciated that. And Jesus, when you read some of his stories or some of his teaching, you just realize he had this kind of interesting way of teaching or of talking. He seemed to be very intentional that when he was teaching, he wasn't quite clear, wasn't always really obvious. He taught using parables and stories, and not everyone understood what it was that he was saying. And you go, why would he do that? Why would he teach in a way that not everybody could? Well, here's what I think. I think it's similar to when you go to Costco, right? So lots of you have been to Costco, giant store. And I know that you pretend you go to Costco in order to save money. But many of you are like the person I'm married to. And you're excited about the samples, right? The tables with the little morsels of joy, and they're just given out freely, and you walk through, and you go, and you take a little sample of something, and you pretend you're interested, because you're not just freeloading, and so you take the bite of it, oh, what are the ingredients of this wonderful, and where is it made? Isn't that fantastic? And then some of you, I know some of you do this, again, because I'm married to one of you, and you go, oh, well, thank you so much, this has been very informative, and then you go through the store and you circle around and you come back and pretend to be a different person. Oh, what is this wonderful, right? And different people do that. And eventually, you know, you decide after a few samples, if you're going to buy this, if you're going to commit to it, if you're going to, you know, actually take it home, or if you're like, I've had a couple samples, I'm good. I think that's what Jesus was doing a little bit with his parables. He's given a little sample, just a little sample. And people are like, ooh, I really like that. And some of the crowd are like, that's very good. And some of them, you know, they circle around and then they come by and they go, hey, can I get another one of those samples? And Jesus goes, sure. Here's another little parable for you. Here's another little story. And some of them grab on and go, I'm going to buy into this. I'm going to commit to this. This is what I want. And some of them are like, I'm good. And they just walk away, and that's fine. And Jesus lets them. But those who are willing to dig deeper, those who are willing to stick around and get more than just the little samples, the little freebies, those are the ones whose lives are changed. Those are the ones who get the full thing. And so the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, that with many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He didn't say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. There's this conversational back and forth that only happens when the crowd is gone, and it's Jesus with his disciples, the ones who are buying in, the ones who are actually following, the ones who dig deeper, who actually live the rhythms of daily life with him. Those are the ones who get the explanation. Those are the ones who are shaped by Jesus' words. And some of you might remember a few weeks ago, we had a young woman named Danielle, and she was here, and we had couches set up, and Pastor Rob was interviewing her, and she was talking about her story. It was our segment called This Is My Story. And her story, she said part of her story was God saying to her, I have more for you if you want it. And I just thought that was so good. It just grabbed me. I have more for you if you want it. So we're gonna want it. We're gonna want the more today that God has for us. And we're gonna just dig in a little bit more. And so I just want to encourage you. We're gonna put a prayer on the screen. And I want to encourage you to just whisper it if you want. Let it wash over you as I read it. Maybe take a deep breath and open your hands if it helps you as an openness, symbol of openness to God. And we just pray together, God, I want more. I want all that you have for me. So settle my heart, quiet my mind, silence distractions, bring my thoughts into line with yours. Help me to hear your voice. And shape me by your word. Amen. So there's a couple scriptures I want to reflect on today. From chapter 24 of the story. One of them just starts with this, consider carefully. And let me just set it up for you. You know, Jesus told a lot of stories about seeds. In the world that he was in, it was very natural to talk about seeds and about farming and about gardening. And so this is the long weekend when lots of you plant your gardens, and some of you have already gone out and you've spent good money, you know, buying product that will make your soil better. Make the dirt that you're going to plant stuff in a little bit better, because you know you can't just drop a seed on random hard dirt on the side of the road or like some pathway through the park. You got to make the soil healthy in order for your seeds to grow. And so Jesus told this story about a farmer who was planting seeds. He's scattering seeds. Lots of you have heard the story before. And where those seeds landed, the seeds of his word, where those seeds landed determined where if the seed grew or not. And so Jesus is telling this story, and he says, you know, some of the seed landed like on really packed down hard dirt, like on a path. And it landed there. And he said, you know, if the seed just lands there, it doesn't stand a chance. It can't even burrow down. It can't get in there at all. You can't even get in there, you know, with some kind of a tool. And so it just lands on the surface there on that soil, and it just sits there, but nothing engages. Nothing engages and nothing happens. It just sits there doing nothing. And then Jesus said, you know, so some seeds, they don't land on this hard dirt like that. They land on dirt that's full of rocks, a soil that's full of stones and rocks. And so the seed, you know, it lands on a little piece of dirt and it goes woohoo, and it kind of digs in, because seeds cheer in my world. They're excited when they land in dirt. And so the seed kind of digs into the ground a little bit and starts trying to send out roots. But then it hits a rock here, and then oh, it hits a stone there, and then there's another one there. And the roots can't go anywhere, and they can't go down deep. So it starts to sort of sprout, and it looks like it's doing good. But then as soon as a hot summer day, hot July day in Montreal hits, or the dryness of August hits, it doesn't have any deep roots. And so the plant just withers, it just wilts, and it dies. And then Jesus said, some of the seeds, they land on soil that's filled with all kinds of other weeds, really aggressive, like thistles and stuff. And so the little seed, you know, it's there in the dirt, and it's really trying, and it's shooting down some roots, and it's really, really trying to do well, but there's these big weeds that are all around it, and they are sucking the nutrients out of the soil, and they're crowding it out so that it can't get a good grip. And it's really interesting, because Jesus, so this is 2,000 years ago, and Jesus says that those weeds are the worries of this life. How many have any worries in your life? So just two of you then, okay? The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, how many know money can mess with your head? Uh-huh. And he said, the desires for more stuff, the desires for other things. Okay, how many just go, he was talking to Montreal today, right here and now. That's who he's talking to. He goes, those are the things that are those weeds that are sucking the energy out of the soil and away from this seed of God's word so that it tries, but it just gets choked out by everything else. And then some of the seed, of course, it lands on good soil. And it's just got the right balance, and it lands there, and it roots in, and it sprouts, and it flourishes, and it's the most beautiful plant that you've ever seen. And then more than that, it actually produces seeds of its own, and it reproduces, and it spreads. And so from a single seed, a whole bunch of plants eventually grow. And then, so Jesus tells the crowd this, like little samples. And then he helps his disciples understand what it means. He goes, listen, you guys, hello, you're the soil. What? You're the dirt. You're the soil that God's word, the seeds of God's word are landing on. What kind of soil are you? What happens when God's word lands in your life? Does it just sit there on the surface, not engaging? Does it try to sprout but then wilt away as soon as things get challenging because there's no good roots? Does it get choked out by, you know, all the worries of life and questions about money and the desire for other stuff? Does it get choked out by that? Or is it actually growing in me and changing the landscape of my heart? And is it being reproduced and impacting and showing in others that are around me? And then Jesus said this, and he changed the metaphor, but the principle stays the same. He said in Mark chapter 4, which is on page 336 in the story, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure that you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they do have, will be taken from them. And you go, I don't know what that means. Listen, you and I determine what God's word does in our life. You and I, we determine and we shape what God's word, the kind of soil that we choose to be, the measure that we use, a little teaspoon of God's word, or do we want a whole bucket of God's word? You know, the measure that we use is going to determine the impact of God's word in our lives. It's a very intentional thing on our part. And it's also a little bit troubling because this verse is not quite comfortable because it leaves you with the sense and with the understanding that there also is this idea that for the crowd who just, you know, takes a little sample and then walks away and then maybe comes back for another, and then, I'm good. Even the little bit that they got, it's just going to fade away and it's not going to have any impact in their lives at all. So let's take some time with this morning, just a few moments, and we're going to actually allow some silent space for you to reflect on this, which is just so weird in the noisy, busy world that we live in. But there's four questions that I want you to engage with and have a few moments with as we just engage with and reflect on God's word, this scripture. And so I want you to just take a deep breath or whatever you need to do. Bring your thoughts. God, quiet our thoughts right now. Bring our thoughts into line. Let me read this scripture slowly with you. And then you're going to ask the question, what does this say? Consider carefully what you hear, Jesus said. With the measure that you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Huh. What does this say? Just take some time, read it a couple times, process. What does this say? Consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever doesn't have, even what they have, will be taken from them. And then we just take that question a little bit deeper. And we go, what does this say to me? What does this say to me? And then we take a moment and we read it again with another question. Consider carefully what you hear. What can I say to God in response? Take a few moments and whisper a prayer to God. Write it down on your phone or in the app or with pen and paper. What can I say to God in response to this? And then the final question that we ask, how does God want to shape me with this scripture? God, how does this shape me? How does this transform me if I let this word in? Then we come back and we go, let's do this again with a different scripture. And for some of us, we're feeling a little vulnerable right now, going, huh, it's okay. So we're going to do this with a second scripture. And this is another parable that Jesus told, and lots of you have heard it before. And this is one that's about a dad and his two boys. He's got two sons. It's in Luke chapter 15 or page 337 in the story. And the story goes that the younger son wanted his inheritance before his dad died. So he says, Dad, I'd like my inheritance. And so dad divides it up. Gives the younger son his portion, the older son his portion. And the younger son, somewhere in that process, it would appear that it's not just dividing up land, but the younger son liquidates his assets and so gets the money for it, which means he's probably sold the land outside of his family, possibly, and that's just not a good thing in his world. It's bringing shame on their family. And he takes this money and he leaves home and he goes somewhere else and he just blows it. You know, use your imagination. He just blows the money in all directions, doesn't even try to use it well, until he gets to a point where he is destitute. He's so poor, he doesn't even have food to eat. He's living, he doesn't have a place to live. Doesn't have any food to eat. And he comes to the conclusion that he's going to try to go home. And it's a scary moment for him to say, I want to go home, because he doesn't deserve to go home. And he knows that he doesn't deserve not one cent more. He doesn't deserve anything from his father, from his family, from the business that's there, because he has actually really damaged his family. He's hurt them. He has done hurtful things to them by living in the way that he has. And it's not even for a good reason. But he goes, well, I'm going to starve to death. And maybe my dad, you know, he's not going to welcome me, but maybe he'll at least just give me a job. And so he goes home and he's hesitant because he's afraid of what he's going to find when he gets there. And he's a long way off, the story goes. But his dad, who's waiting and watching for him, his dad, when he sees him coming a long way off, his dad just gathers up his clothes and just runs to him. And the Bible says he's filled with compassion and he throws his arms around his boy. And here's what Jesus says happens. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I don't deserve to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive, and he was lost and is found. And I love it because the son goes, I'm not worthy to be called. I don't deserve to be called your son. I have lost that. I don't deserve it. And the dad doesn't even argue with him, doesn't even respond to that. He just throws his arms around, welcomes him intentionally, and then starts saying to other people, this son of mine. And it's beautiful. It's this, he's trying to make the point that deserving has nothing to do with whether or not you are loved. Deserving has nothing to do with whether or not the father calls you his son, his daughter, his child. And so that happens. And then understandably, the older brother, because remember there was an older brother in this story, and he's irritated. And it's understandable because any celebration, any party is going to come out of his inheritance. And it's not fair because he's the one that worked. He has done everything that he should do to earn his father's approval. And if anybody deserves to be loved and deserves to be celebrated, it's him. And so he's so angry that he won't even come into the room where his brother is. So the Bible says his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and I never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, doesn't even call him his brother, but when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you just kill the fattened calf for him. And look how the father responds. My son, you're always with me. And everything I have is yours. The older son goes, he's not worthy. I am. He doesn't deserve this. I do. I have done everything in order to earn your love. And the dad goes, my son, you never had to earn my love. All I have is yours. And it's the same thing. Deserving has nothing to do with whether or not you're loved. It has nothing to do with whether the father calls you his child. You're just loved. Just loved by God. And both brothers had this idea that they had to earn their worth. Neither of them understood that their father had unlimited love for both of them. So let's take some time with this. Shorten it down. And you just take some time and look at this scripture. Here's the first son. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I don't deserve it. And the father says, oh, this son of mine was lost and is found. And the second son goes, all these years, Dad, I've been slaving for you and I never disobeyed your orders. And the father goes, oh, my son, you're always with me. Everything I have, it's yours. Take a moment. Read it over and ask the question, what does this say? And even as we read it again, let that question go a little bit deeper. What does this say to me? Dad, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. No. This son of mine was lost and is found. What does this say to me? Dad, all these years I've been slaving for you, and I never disobeyed your orders. Oh, my son, you're always with me. Everything I have, it's yours. What does this say to me? Just let it sink in. And then start to ask the question, what can I say to God in response? And go ahead, you can. Might be, God, I don't like it, actually. For some of us, it's an awfully vulnerable feeling. What can I say to God in response? And then the real moment of just letting that seed deep into our hearts. How does God want to shape me? How does God want to shape me with this word? Don't skip this question. Takes us back to that thing that Danielle said. I have more for you if you want it. If we'll spend time with God's word, the more the disciples dug into Jesus' words, the more they were transformed by them, the more they were shaped by them. And you know what's a little bit sad? Not everybody responded this way. Some of them just took the samples and took a few tastes and then went, meh, wandered away. It says in John chapter 6, from this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. But watch this. You don't want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. The ones who had stayed had been shaped and changed and transformed by the words of God. God, may you do the same in us. Can I invite you to stand this morning? God, even as we just take this last moment or two of our service, and we have taken the time to really try to engage with your word, not just let it land and then blow away, but be something that takes root and becomes part of our hearts. We've prayed, we've listened, we've responded. And God, for some of us, it has been a meaningful thing. And so I ask that you would take what we have absorbed and you would seal that deep into our hearts. And you would help it to take root today and this week. And that you would help us then to carry that into our world, into our workplaces and our schools and where our families are and our friendships and all of the things that we have going on. Would you help us to carry Jesus well into those spaces? Help us to carry the seeds of Jesus' words into those places, and may they be reproduced and have an impact even beyond ourselves. Would you help us, God, to do good as followers of Jesus, because that's what we do. Would you help us to love each other, because love isn't about deserving, it's just what you've called us to do. And would you help us to reveal Jesus to a world that desperately needs him? God, go with us. Keep us safe. Guide us. Transform us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming this morning. Make sure you say hi to somebody. Grab a coffee at the Connect Cafe on your way out. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.